Right. You want to read from Avam Chavidanta Bhakti here, down to through at the bottom of page 51.
Okay.
Evamcha.
Vedanta Vakyaihi. Sat Guru Padeshena. Cha Sarve Swapi. Bhuteshu.
Yesham.
Brahma Buddhihi. Utpannate. Jivan Mukta Bhavanti.
Nanu.
Jivan Mukta Kaha.
Yathadehoham.
Purushoham.
Brahmanoham.
Shudroham asmiti.
Dridha.
Nishchayastatha.
Naham.
Brahmano.
Nashudro.
Na purushaha.
Kintva sangaha.
Sachidananda swarupaha.
Prakasha rupaha.
Sarvantaryami.
Chidakasha rupo smi.
Iti.
Dridha.
Nishchaya rupa aparoksha.
Jnanavan.
Jivan muktaha.
Brahmaivaham.
Asmitya paroksha jnanena.
Nikhila.
Karma bandha.
Vinirmukti syat.
Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu, Sahadiryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavahitamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
So, and having answered the Brahmani, having answered the student's doubt, which was basically, how can you say in the Mahavakya, Tattvamasi, you are that? How can you say that? You know, because obviously the jiva, who is very limited in all ways, has what we call vibuddha, that all of the characteristics are the opposite. You know, between the two, between Ishvara and the jiva. So how can that be said? And so he begins by making clear these two types of understandings that we have naturally taken for granted. One is that when we're normally talking and using words in their primary sense, the most common sense, it's called the vachyartha. The meaning is vachya, it's how the word is normally used. You know, just in its primary immediate sense, like red. If you say red, it means a red color. like that. But there's also the laksharta, the implied meaning, or what we're pointed to. And those laksharta's, where the meaning is something that's implied, those are also very frequently used, and we don't even have to process that in our brain. We just automatically do it. Like I use the expression of some horses are running, one of them is red, and the friend points out to their, hey, look at the red one running. Look at the red running. Yeah. And then you look, and you see the red horse running. Red, red, red. Mm-hmm. You see the red horse running. You know that red is indicating the red horse, right? Because in the context, that's what it means. It doesn't mean a red color is running. So you don't have to do much thought about this. It simply takes place. But now we're talking in where we have to define all of these things, because we are now talking about the nature of the self, which isn't within our normal sphere of knowing things. Because the Atma, yourself, already is present, but not as something that you can look at. Not something you are, which seems obvious to say, but you are not something that you can have a subject-object relationship with. Right? And so, in fact, most of the words that we use, in a sense, are going to be implied. Because what word can we use, you know, that really captures the nature of the self, which doesn't have any qualities, is not limited by time, not limited by space, has no relationship with anything because it's a self of everything. And so we really don't have a language to use. And so the language, when we're talking about the prakriyas or the teaching methodologies or how we wield the Vedanta as a pramana, we are talking about how to use language in such a way that one word alters the effect of another word, which alters the effect of another word, stripping off the limitations that exist within time and space so that it can land on you, right? And so when we're gaining self-knowledge, we are really using the words as lakshartas in the Tattvamasi, you are that, or I, another Mahavakya, I am Brahman, or Brahman is consciousness, prajnanam and prajnanam Brahma. You know, consciousness is Brahman. What do these things mean? You know, because none of these things make any sense within the world, and yet all of the words we have, we use within the world. And so they have an immediate meaning of vacharta, but they also lend themselves to an implied meaning or a directed meaning. So that was the kind of the discussion, showing that if you take just the immediate meaning of you are that, it makes no sense. But if you recognize the truth of the twam, if that unfoldment has taken place so that you realize that this, the truth of myself is Shuddha Chaitanyam, is just pure consciousness, and again through the prakriyas, the teaching methodologies, you realize that the truth of Ishvara, Ishvara's truth, Ishvara's being, is nothing but Shuddha Chaitanyam, then Shuddha Chaitanyam, you know, pure consciousness equals pure consciousness. That's the equation. The equation resolves into actually just one non-dual conscious being, because in the teaching methodology also, all time, space, and everything that's included within it has been revealed to be mitya. Right? So without mitya also, then I'm a real jiva here, and Brahman is a real Shuddha Chaitanyam over there, somewhere else. So this is kind of the unfoldment that's contained in the Upanishads themselves, and in all of the Prakarna Granthas too, like this. These are explanatory texts that try to make what the Upanishads with their commentaries say in a very, very tersely, you know. It expands everything so that it gives you the kind of step-by-step guidance. Your mind can see this, and then it sees this, and then it sees this, and it makes it all very clear. So this Tattva Bodha is very good for that. You know, goes through systematically everything that you want to know, and then you'll be hearing this over and over and over again in many different ways in all of the Prakarna Granthas and the Upanishads and the Brahma Sutras and whatever you happen to Bhagavad Gita. So all of this will be be being discussed in different ways that just expand your clarity, let's say. So here, having gone through the difference between the Vaicharta and the Lakshyartha and recognizing that when you say tat tvamasi, that both you and Ishvara are the same, and the same non-dual being, because time and space is mitya, the creation is mitya. It means it has no being of its own, that its being is me, is the Adhisthana, is myself. I am, not this body, mind, sense organs, the body, mind, sense organs is mitya, but I actually am Ishvara, because Ishvara depends upon the Brahmatma, the self, which is limitless, as itself. Ishvara, if Ishvara was going to have a conversation with you, he would say, ah, this huge body, this infinite body, it's wonderful, it's beautiful, and it's mitya. And so is everything in it, which includes you. Your body is mitya, my huge body is mitya, we're just one Shuddha Chaitanya, that's the only thing there. All is well. No problem. So having made that, unfolded how the Tattvamasi really works, and once it's done its job, there is nothing left. There's no what we call bodhika. There's nothing to sublate it. There's nothing to take that abheda away. Because everything that could divide or change or alter the self is nitya. There is nothing outside of Brahman that is not mitya. Because everything outside of Brahman, even starting with Maya, Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas, manifesting as the creation, existing with time and space, comes into being, it goes out of being, and upon analysis you can't find it. Because it breaks down into an infinite regress. So there actually is no thing there. There's just names within names within names. And the names of 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 Brahman. Brahman is the substantive. Brahman is what is actually there. Brahman is myself. So, now, having explained this, then he says, repeat after me, evam cha,
evam cha,
Vedanta Vakyaihi,
Vedanta Vakyaihi,
Sadguru,
Sadguru,
Upadeshena,
Upadeshena,
Cha,
Cha,
Sarveshu,
Sarveshu,
Api,
Api,
Bhuteshu,
Bhuteshu,
Yesham,
Yesham,
Brahma Buddhihi,
Brahma Buddhihi,
Utpanna,
Utpanna,
Te Jivan Muktaha,
Te Jivan Muktaha,
Bhavanti,
Bhavanti.
So now it says, evamcha means and in this manner. So we'll see what that means in a minute, in this manner. The very bottom line, just to put this in some nice word order. Yesham brahma buddhihi utpannaha. For whom? Yesham. For whom? The Brahma Buddhihi. Brahma Buddhihi means that knowledge, that nischaya jnanam, that clear, doubt-free jnanam, knowledge of Brahman. So if I have a Brahma Buddhihi, that means I have recognized free of doubt, because buddhi. Buddhi means definitive clarity. So the Brahma Buddhi is I know Brahman. I am clear about the nature of Brahman. So for whom the Brahma Buddhihi, buddhi is feminine. So that for whom the Brahma Buddhihi Utpanna has taken place, has been born. That means that knowledge has taken place. For whom that Brahma Buddhi has taken place, now the top line, in reference to, we can take a look at it like this. Sarveshu api bhuteshu. In reference to all beings. Sarva bhutas are all beings. So the one, in English we'd say, the one who has that clarity, that recognition of that of Brahman as being in all beings. In other words, you are Brahman, you are Brahman, you are Brahman, you are, there is nothing that is not Brahman. So the one for whom that Brahma buddhi has taken place in reference to sarveshu api bhuteshu. Api is just emphasis here. So in beings is locative plural. So this Brahma Buddhi is in reference to what? Who in what is the Brahma Buddhi? Who gets that Brahma Buddhi? Everybody. Everybody that you experience for you recognize them, you recognize the whole creation as Brahman, you recognize Ishwar as Brahman, you recognize all beings as Brahman. That's the Brahma Buddhi in reference to all that is. You can even take it, Buddha also means not that just those who have come into being, it also means the five elements, the Mahabhutas, and then gone into Panchikarana, they become the Stula Bhutas. Everything, so it comes from the root Bhu, to become. Bhuta is a past passive participle. Ikta means that which has come into being is Bhuta. So that Brahma Buddhi, the recognition of Brahman in reference to all beings, to Ishwara, to the creation, to all jivas, to all animals, to all of the fish, to all of the mosquitoes, to all beings equally. This is so important, especially when we have to think not just of human beings, but all beings. When you look at any being, you look at them in their eyes, you are seeing yourself in that namaru, in that upadi, not somebody else. You know exactly who they are, because they are you. They are you. Whether it's the cows or the fish or the snakes or the mosquitoes, they have sukshma shariras. They have a sense of self from the standpoint of the upadi. But what is their sense of self? Their sense of self is me. I am their sense of self because I am them. So that is an assimilated knowledge. So now it says, for those who have this Brahma Buddhi toward all beings, and how do they have it? Vedanta Vakyaihi Sadguru Upadeshena. By being taught by the Vedanta Vakyas, by the statements of the Vedanta, of the Upanishads, the Prakarana Granthas, the Bhagavad Gita, the Brahma Sutras, all of these are the group of texts that make up the Vedanta. So the Upanishads, Prakarana Granthas, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutras, Prakarana Granthas, these are all the Vedanta. All the words held in these texts are the Vedanta. And so, how does the person gain this Brahma Buddhi toward all beings? By the words of the Vedanta, Sadguru Upadeshena, and by the teaching of the Sadguru. So they gain it in this manner. As we've just gone through the teaching of the Sadguru and through the Vedanta Vakyas. The Sadguru is the one who is teaching these Vedanta Vakyas. So the problem here is the two have to go together, because the Vedanta Vakyas are not just one or two Vakyas. It's not a vision that you can just give in a few words and walk away. The mind needs to have a depth of understanding of the whole thing. And then if you have a depth of understanding of the whole thing, then each part of it makes sense. But you can't just go and study one part and have that make sense, because then what about this, and what about this, and what about this? Even the teaching itself has an order. And I used to remember experiencing this order all of the time when Swamiji would be unfolding something. He would say something, and whatever it was, even if it was a drisha viveka, or whatever unfoldment he was doing, didn't really matter. He would say something, and then a question, I would see that, a question would arise in my mind, which was the next thing he talked about. Because the questions, and that would go like that. Like, dun, 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 and you're following, so this would bring about this question, which is the next little piece of logic that is necessary. And so you find yourself, you think, well, how can I learn all of those pieces of logic? Well, you've been exposed to them, say if you're the student, you've been exposed to them many, many, many different times, many times, maybe 200, 300, 400 times. And at first, you only see what's being said. You don't hear all of the steps of logic. But at some point you start hearing how you got to what you've seen. And that's always kind of fascinating. It's very interesting. Oh, that's how that works. Because you've heard it so many times that now you can kind of hear the parts that are involved in that particular prakriya. But then you might have this kind of thought, well, how can I remember all that, though? There's so many of these logics. How can I possibly remember all of that? The fact is, you don't have to remember it, because you will know when you're teaching a student that, say, you might want to jump a step, your mind will go, oh, they won't understand that unless I say this first. Because it's clear as day. You can't understand this unless this has been said, and you won't understand that unless this has been said, etc. And so your mind just naturally, when you find yourself in a teaching position, you can't start at the end and work backwards. You have to start at the beginning and work forwards, because there's a pramana taking place. Then the mind is being taken to that particular vision. And you'll find that as you experience the shravana over and over, and then somebody asks you a question, another student asks you a question, or you're teaching a class, and then that will become very clear to you that they won't know what you're talking about if you just say that. Sometimes you can throw out what's called a pratigna, just the initial statement, like it started with the Atma Bodha, in this Tattva Bodha, says something like, you know, the self that you are is limitless Brahman. So if I started with that, that's called a pratigna. That's the thing that has to be proved. So here in the West, we might say, if I said that in India, they would all, that's what the Upanishads say. That's exactly what I want to know, and I have no idea what that means. But they know that that's what the Upanishads, as a revealed knowledge, says that, so I want to learn that. So if we're doing it here, if you want to start out in that way, that yourself is infinite, then you'd have to say something like, according to the vision of the Upanishads, the self that you are is infinite, is non-dual. And that is the vision of the Upanishads, which they will painstakingly unfold. You have to say something like that. You can't just say, you're infinite, you're Ananda, I'm so happy for you. I really just rolled their eyes. It's not going to happen. It does not work. Okay. So this knowledge that gives you the recognition that everything is yourself, is Brahman, that Brahma Buddhi includes you, that is your nature, and your nature, being the Satchitatma, is the self of all beings. That's the vision that is gained through the handling of the vakyas, of the state. Vakya means like statement or words, of the words of the Upanishads, of all of the Prakarana Granthas, etc., of the Vedanta, and it is handled by the Sadguru. So this Sadguru Upadesha, by the teaching of these Vedanta Vakyas, by the teaching of the Guru, of the teacher, who is a teacher of that which is Sat, the Sadvastu. There's different ways that this can be taken. This is how Swamiji is taking it this time. The Sad means Sat, right? So what is the Guru teaching? Guru is actually a word that is used for your teacher, but not just in Vedanta. You could be teaching Jyotish. You could be studying Jyotish astrology. And your teacher would be your guru. And your guru would be the one who removes all of the ignorance around this teaching tradition. And you would be studying with him for at least 12 years. Or maybe you're studying Bharatanatyam, you're studying dance or music, you know. Your guru is the one who teaches you that, who removes the ajnanam, who gives you that thoroughly. That person is your guru, the one who removes darkness. Could say. We usually use the one who removes darkness only because we're in this tradition, and our guru is the one who removes darkness. Guru, the remover of darkness. Ignorance. Of what? Of Sat. Sat stands for Satyam, which is that is the reality. For the reality, what is the reality of all of this? What is the truth of the whole thing? So by the words of the Sadguru, the Guru, who is unfolding the nature of Sat as revealed by all of the Vedanta Vakyas in this manner, as we've been, the Acharya here for this is as we've been doing, so in and in this manner that we've just done. So the one who reveals that by that one, for those whom this Brahma Buddhi has been born, Utpanna, why, how? By means of, in reference to all beings, by means of the Vedanta Vakyas and the Sadguru Upadesha. Upadesha means teaching. The Vedanta Vakyas is handled by the teacher who is teaching of the reality held in the Upanishads. Those people, then it finishes the sentence, so why are you saying this? It says, Te Jivan Muktaha Bhavanti. Those people are Jivan Muktas. Those who have that Brahma Buddhi toward all beings, having been taught by the Guru, and the having been taught the Vedanta Vakyas, statements of the Vedanta, the vision of the Vedanta, by a teacher who knows. That's kind of important. By a teacher, that teacher has to have that whole vision and themselves know. Because you have to remember that the vision of the you can't really fake it, you know. The vision of the Vedanta has to do with yourself, the nature of yourself, which is not available, it's available to you experientially as me, but it's not available to your means of knowledge, to which we usually use to gain knowledge, like our sense organs and other means of knowledge, like inference and presumption, seeing that there's no elephant in the room, non-cognition. There's many pramanas that we have, but they're all based on sense perception. And so we don't have a means for gaining that knowledge. And yet, that knowledge is not, that self is immediately available as me. And when you gain the knowledge, you recognize that you are Brahman. You don't recognize that there's some big Brahman self somewhere else. You realize that this self that is me has always been me, is Brahman. Not somebody else. It is the recognition that the most familiar me, that is so well known to me, is actually free. This body, mind, sense organs depend upon me, but I don't depend upon it at all. That's the recognition. The recognition that myself is the one non-dual self that is the self of this whole creation. So tat tamasi, you are that. You are that Ishwara. You are Ishwara. Not Ishwara's upadi, and not you're not your upadi, and you're not Ishwara's upadi, and Ishwara's not Ishwara's upadi either. Nobody's the upadi. No. Ishwara doesn't have isn't the upadi, you're not the upadi, you're the Shuddha Chaitanya, that pure conscious being. That's your recognition. And that means the self that I am is the self that Ishwara is the self that all of us are. Even the mosquitoes. So we've used this word, Jivan Muktaha. So those people are called Jivan Muktas who have recognized this Brahma Buddhi in all beings, as taught by the Upanishads. So next, so repeat after me. Nanu Jivan Muktaha. Oh yeah, go ahead. Nanu.
Nanu.
Jivan Muktaha Kaha.
Jivan Muktaha Kaha.
Doubt, calling to attention, raising your hand. Nanu. Who is a Jivan Mukta? You know? What is the Jivan Mukta like? What is the Jivan Mukta? The one who has realized this, then who are they? What is Jivan Mukta living? Literally, Jivan is a present participle, kshatra. It means living. Muktaha is a past passive participle. It means one who is liberated. One who is while living, they are liberated. Not after death. You're not liberated by going to heaven. You're liberated because you always have been liberated, and now you, the ajnanam, the self-ignorance has been removed. And so now you have that freedom. So living liberated. Who is one that is living liberated, a Jivan Muktaha? So it gives a nice example. So, repeat after me. Yatha.
Yatha.
Dehoham.
Dehoham.
Purushoham.
Purushoham.
Brahmanoham.
Brahmanoham.
Shudroham.
Shudroham.
Asmi iti.
Asmi iti.
Dridha nishchayah.
Dridha nishchayah.
Let's translate that first part. So yata, just as, dehoham, dehaha aham, just as I am the body, purushaha aham, I am a person, brahmanaha aham, I'm a brahmana, or shudra, kshatriya, you know, vaishya. So I'm a shudraha aham asmi, all of these things. So just as you could say, you know, I am a man, or I am a woman, or, you know, I am such and such an age, or such and such an age, I am a wife, or a mother, or a sister, or a daughter, or a husband, etc. We have so many things, so many categories that define us. So just as I can say all of these things, they're using just Indian things, I am the body, I'm a person, I'm a brahmana, I'm a shudra, all of these things, just as dridha nishchayaha, just as there is a very firm, dridha means strong, conviction, nishchayaha. It's not like you have any doubt. If you say, I am a brahmana, how do you know you're a brahmana? I know I'm a brahmana, for heaven's sakes. I wouldn't say it if I wouldn't say I am a brahmana if I didn't know I was a brahmana. I'm not a kshatriya, I'm not a shudra, I'm not a vaishya, I'm a brahmana. Yeah. How do you know you're a person? Oh, I am a person. What do you think? I'm an animal or something? Of course I'm a person. All of these things is ridiculous. That's dridha nishchayaha. I don't have any doubt about it. If I'm an honest person and I have a value for telling the truth, then I will just define myself properly. As one or more of these many, many ways that we can do that. You have firm conviction in that. So just as a samsari can say these things with a firm conviction, tata, similarly, na aham brahmanaha. I am not a brahmana. Oh, let's read it, okay? Tata. Na aham brahmanaha.
Na aham brahmanaha.
Na shudraha.
Na shudraha.
Na purushaha.
Na purushaha.
Kintu.
Kintu.
Asangaha.
Asangaha.
Sachirananda swarupaha.
Sachirananda swarupaha.
Prakasha rupaha.
Prakasha rupaha.
Sarva antarayami.
Sarva antarayami.
Chirakasha rupaha asmi.
Chirakasha rupaha asmi.
Iti. Dridha nishchaya rupa.
Dridha nishchaya rupa.
Aparoksha jnanavan.
Aparoksha jnanavan.
Jivan muktaha.
Jivan muktaha.
So this says, so just as one might say within samsara, I am the body, I am the person, I am the brahman, etc. In the same way, na aham brahmana, jivan mukta will say, I am not a brahmana, na aham, not outside to the world, just in teaching. I'm not a brahmana, I'm the Satchitatma. You don't do that in the world. You just keep that private. Okay. Na aham brahmana, I'm not a brahmana. Na shudraha, I'm not a shudra. These are castes. Na purushaha, I'm not a purusha. I'm not a human being. I'm not a person. Kintu, but rather, I am asangaha. Asangaha means myself. I am asanga. Asanga means I am not attached to anything. That means in the meditations we've been doing, I haven't called it a sangha yet, but you notice that, say, when we're just sitting in meditation and just gently turning your focus toward your own being, and still all of these other things are happening, like the birds are chirping or whatever, all the different sounds and feelings and thoughts may float through. None of them change you. None of them are stuck on you. Not at all. They don't impact you or touch you in any way. That's why I think it's the Mundaka Upanishad, it's likened to sparks of a flame. Because the sparks just are coming and going, they don't have anything to do. You have to get rid of the distance and all that. But they just come and go, they come and go and come and go. You know, they don't touch you in any way. And so that's the viveka, that differentiation is the viveka, just that discrimination, that The one who is the me that is here is always the same. It doesn't make no, it makes no difference what is going on out here. It makes no difference what is going on in your mind. Even if you don't feel a sangha, that doesn't mean that you're not. Of course, the Ajnani, the one who doesn't have that viveka, you know, when you're really depressed or hurt, or you have an emotion that overwhelms the buddhi, you know, then all the feelings, all the thoughts of the buddhi are really coming out of that overwhelm, until the buddhi can say, "This is what we have to do," okay? Because we still can get overwhelming emotions sometimes. You have to have this little, your buddhi has to always know that no matter what is happening, what emotion is there, that the buddhi can objectify that. You know, you think you're that, but the buddhi, all the buddhi has to do is, you're really feeling down. Yeah. You're really feeling down, and describe the situation. And then what happens is the buddhi is immediately, no matter how big the emotion is really, the buddhi is immediately differentiated from the manas, and then can come into relationship with it. That's the little trick we have to know, you know. But that's just from the standpoint of the buddhi coming into relationship with the manas. But the buddhi for us is the one who has knowledge. It can come into, it can objectify all of the experiences that you're undergoing and come into relationship with it and give it its, listen, be a good listener and giving wisdom and whatnot. And it can also at the very same time be resting in your being. It is resting in your being anyway, but with knowledge, with viveka. And when the buddhi is resting in your being, one thing, and just when we do this in meditation, and later it will just be natural all of the time, we just do it initially and in meditation to make it firm, to give it that dhritic jnana, where you realize, I, the one who is here right now, I am always the same. Always the same. There is nothing changing about me, nor am I even knowing anything. I'm not identified with the knower. I'm not identified with the mind or with the sense organs. I simply am. So no matter all of this is going on, so much is going on inside and out, but if you notice yourself, you simply are just being you. Me. This one that is most familiar, never budges or never changes in any way. That is the asanga atma. I recognize within all of these upadis, within all of these conditioning adjuncts, I remain untouched. And I'm always the same. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. They're two different orders of reality. So it's not like the mithya order of reality has any power to touch or change this ananda swarupa of my own nature at all. And so, here I say, I'm not, the jnani will say, I'm not the brahmana, I'm not the shudra, I'm not a human being, but I am, from your own standpoint, I am the sangha atma. I am the self which is, nothing can touch me. You know, it's like space is the most subtle element. There's of the space, air, fire, water, earth, space is more subtle than any of the other five elements. And the Atma is more subtle than space. So there's a verse in the, two verses actually in the Bhagavad Gita that says, you know, the a blade can't cut space, fire can't burn space, try to light space on fire. Water can't wet it, the dirt can't, prithvi can't, you know, stain it with, make it muddy. Nothing. Space just remains a sangha. Space is the drishtanta we have, the illustration we have for sangha, because nothing can touch it. And space is objectified by me, right? I am aware of space. So if nothing can touch space, how can anything touch me, which is more subtle than even space, and innermost even to space? It's not possible at all. And as you recognize yourself, you notice that directly, immediately, that nothing touches you, that you just simply abide this me that is you. You just are always there, present, as all of this activity is going on. It's not that the activity isn't going on. Our sense organs are working, our mind is working, buddhi is active, you know, body is taking the run, whatever, it's doing whatever it does. All those things are taking place. All of them depend totally upon me for my being, for their being, for their me-ness, for being me. But they're a different order of reality. They don't touch me any more than my imagination touches me. Not at all. So, I know myself, the Jivanmukta, as a Sangha, Satchirananda Swarupaha. That is the Laksharta. That is my definition. That's the Lakshana that won't land on anything else. I am Sat, existence, which is consciousness, which is limitless. The Satchirananda Swarupaha. Prakasharupaha. Prakasha means I am the light itself. I am consciousness. Prakasha is used for light, like the sun is prakasha. Here we use prakasha for consciousness, because consciousness is its own light. It is self-evident. So I don't need another pramana or another consciousness to come in and light me up, because I am that consciousness. I am the consciousness because of which the whole Maya Upadhi, the whole Ishwara Upadhi, and my body, mind, sense organs are known. The knownness is my prakasha. That is me. The knownness that this whole thing enjoys, the consciousness that it enjoys, is only myself. And sarva antaryami, and this self that I am is the self in all beings. Antara means inside. Sarva antaryami is that which is going inside. The yami has a sense of control. There's no really control here. It's just there's no place within this creation where I am not there. I am the warp and woof. You know, warp and woof, like when you're knitting a rug. This is the warp, and this is the woof. Did I get that right? Or is this the woof, and this the warp? Anyway, you know what I mean. It's all pervasive. There's nothing at all in any way away from consciousness or sarva antaryami. And then after we say that, Swamiji will say something like, I've just said that you're there in all beings, but you're also outside of all beings. And you might have gotten confused, so he says, Chid Akasha Rupaha. You are the consciousness which is like Akasha. I could say you are the Akasha, Akasha means space. The consciousness that you are is like space in that it's all pervasive. There's no place where it is not. Within this creation, there is no place where space is not. Now, if you've got a pot, you think that space is not in the pot. But it's in the pot. The pot thinks that it owns that space. It still thinks there's space there, but it thinks it owns it. I am the pot space. Then you ask, well, if I move this pot space, your own personal space, but if I move the pot over here, then what happens? Well, I've moved over there then. Yeah, but there's still space all here. Right? Didn't you rip through? No. This is an interesting meditation. You know, when you're walking in terms of consciousness, because if I move the pot like this, the space hasn't moved. It remains exactly the same. There's no movement. Right? There's no movement at all. The pot moves through space. What about when your pot upadi, the body, you know, is taking a walk? You're taking a walk. Are you walking? Your body is walking. Your sukshma sharira is embodied in the body. You can say the sukshma sharira is taking a walk because the body's carrying it around. You know, it's walking. All of the, you know, sense organs and mind and the pranas, they're all being carried along with your body. What about you? Are you walking? Are you moving at all? And you have to say, no, but it's a fantastic thing to recognize that fact of it. I was kind of lucky enough to have this kind of experience once, for who knows why, you know, we've all had a little subtle experiences at the right time that give you a nice big message. I've told the story before, but anyway. I had been listening to Swamiji for some time in India. Not a long time, just some time. And I was walking down to class, and Edward and Alf and some of their other friends were down, you know, at the library, and I was walking toward them. And all of a sudden, I recognized, my buddhi recognized very clearly, I am not walking. The self, myself, is not walking. Like space. It's like the pot recognizing, I thought this space belonged to me, and I was moving it. And the space recognizes, the space isn't moving. So some, for whatever reason, it was in line with Swamiji's teaching, but that for some reason, your mind just has to see something sometimes. So it saw this thing. I'm not moving. I couldn't believe it. And, of course, then there's a viveka between yourself and the mind and everything else. So this viveka was there. I just stopped in my tracks. And I was so afraid to lose it, that I would lose that recognition. And so I would go like, I went like this. I was standing there and I didn't want to lose it. And so I went just to check it out. I wanted to see if I turned my head, and I did it very slowly. Okay. And I realized myself isn't turning. There's nothing happening. And then I thought, let me try something more drastic. I'm not raising my hand. It's not happening. That viveka is there, you know. And then I realized I had to get to class. And so then I just walked to class. It lasted for some time. It never completely went away. That was an extreme viveka. There was like a meditative experience. But then for a long time, it never really went away. But I think where that type of realization ends up as you mature in your knowledge is that it is a given that you are always there in exactly the same way. And you don't have to go like this or that. You don't have to do anything because you are self-evident and that viveka is complete. And so, in fact, you're never changing and you are whole and complete. There is no desire on the part of the self, well, let me have this experience or let me have this experience or let me, you know, become full, because you are the very ananda that you've been seeking for. And that's a very also calm thing. It's not this bliss bubble. You are the very wholeness and what you are, the very well-being that you've been looking for, trying to get out of the creation by your accomplishments and friends and whatnot. You've worked for it, but all of these things are, you know, transitory. And finally, you realize, my being as I am is not transitory. That wholeness is not transitory. Your mind is all kinds of things. Like the son, your mind is all kinds of funny things. So he said, so what? What difference does it make? Why would he say that? He says that because nothing happens to you. The wholeness, the well-being of yourself is absolutely stable. That's why in a lot of these meditations, we're just trying to, you know, just working on being able to differentiate myself and then to recognize, I don't need to meditate even. Meditation is not really making you shine. It's not doing anything except calming down the mind and letting the mind recognize what, for the beginningless time, it hadn't recognized. So now it needs to spend a little time checking that out and recognizing the truth of it and maturing in that truth. So he says, Chit Akasha Rupa Asmi. He says, I am that. I am that Asanga Sachidananda Swarupaha Prakasha Rupaha Sarva Antaryami Chit Akasha Rupaha Asmi. I am that. Iti, thus, Dridha Nishtya Rupa Aparoksha Jnanavan Jivan Muktaha. An important word here. Who says that? The Jivan Mukta, the one living liberated, who is Aparoksha Jnanavan, who has what we call Aparoksha Jnanam, this is the word, Aparoksha Jnanam, in the form of Dhrita Nishtya. That in the form of means that aparoksha jnanam is not weak. It is firm and clear. And so just like you, the ajnani has dritta nishtya jnanam, and I am this body, mind, sense organs who have done this and that and this and that, I'm very clear, I don't have any doubt about it. In the same way, the one who has knowledge has all of those things too, from the standpoint of the upadis, but also knows very clearly that who I am, myself, very clearly without any doubt. And that knowledge is called this aparoksha jnanam. I'm going to do that next class. Aparoksha jnanam is good. You have to spend time. It's really beautiful understanding. Om
Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.